Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to My Favourite Takeaway, the show for people who love food but can't always be bothered to cook it. This is the show where myself, Tom Crane, and my friend Simran Shah go into the homes of celebrities and have their favourite takeaway with them just as they'd normally have it. How are you, Sim? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good, Crane. I'm doing well. I'm quite hungry already, actually.
Ah.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you've come to the right podcast. You've come to the right podcast, Sim. Have you not eaten? Why haven't you eaten today? Why are you hungry?
I'm in that sort of between lunch and dinner sort of phase. You know what I've just had, actually? I've just had and made a bit of toast, put a bit of butter on it.
Nice.
And then took a pickle jar, a Patak
yep.
pickle jar of garlic pickle, and just spread the pickle on the toast and just ate that. And honestly, it was absolutely delicious.
The initial tone of that suggested you were about to tell me about butter on toast. Like, that was a new thing. I was glad that sort of kept going into something more interesting. I took a piece of toast and I put butter on it. Can you imagine that? Combining the two things. Now, Sim, I want to tell you something. I've had a food-related story this week, which I think is worth mentioning. I went to a lovely restaurant called Oren in Dalston this week, which is really, really nice Mediterranean food. And it gives you an idea of how excited and sort of carried away I get by food and the ambience and the joy of eating with people I love. My girlfriend and I went for a meal in Oren on Wednesday, and we had such a nice night in a sort of moment of absolute random fun, shall we say. We got engaged, which was nice.
What?
So, yes,
you got
Claire
engaged?
And I got engaged. We did, midway through the meal.
This is how you're telling me on the podcast. This is unbelievable.
Claire insisted. Claire said you should mention to him. Tell him on the podcast, see how he reacts. We can document his reaction.
That is astonishing. Like, this next level trying to get content for the show. But, I mean, that
I
is...
know.
Great, this is great news. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Oh, how wonderful. That's so cool.
But it does show you sort of the place you can get into. I'm very much in love, but it was such a sort of perfect moment of both being as happy as we can be. You're sharing a meal with someone you care about, and that's the joy of life, isn't it? And it just happened in the moment.
Sorry, I've got so many questions, Tom.
Far away.
How did you do it in the restaurant? What did you do? How did you do it?
We were just talking about, you know, life and the future and that sort of stuff, and then I just sort of like randomly asked. What was a bit awkward, Sim? I'll just say there wasn't enough room for me to go down on one knee because we were stuck up on bar stools against the bar, so I sort of like lowered myself a little bit on the bar stool.
Oh my god, this is wonderful.
She kindly said yes, and it was a very, very nice moment. They gave us some champagne, and sort of the bar staff all sort of raised a glass, and it was very nice.
Were you nervous about doing this?
Well, I
had
wasn't
planned
actually
it?
Nervous.
Obviously, you planned it.
No, I hadn't planned it at all. And I had been thinking about it. It was definitely something I was going to do in the near future, but it just happened sort of in the moment. So I wasn't nervous, and it was kind of a lovely moment. And she said yes. And then we completed what was a fantastic meal. You see, most people like to do sort of proposal in the front of maybe the Eiffel Tower or something like that. And for me, it was some perfectly char-grilled broccoli. That was what I wanted. I wanted that as the backing.
This is wonderful news.
That is my food story. That's my food story.
It's a hell of a food story, Craig.
It's not really a food story, to be perfectly honest. It's more of a life story than a food story.
It's a full engagement.
I think I'd be a bit offended if Claire went around saying, I had a great meal last night. Do you want to hear about a great meal I had? Oh, yeah, I was proposed to. That's fine. But I had a really great meal last Wednesday. It's not a food story. It's a life story.
Well, congratulations. This is huge.
But thank you, Simran. You're very kind. Thank you. Now, Sim.
Yes.
Let's get on to the far more important subject. Let's do it.
Let's
do it. Of course,
it.
Who cares about, you know, love and all that sort of stuff? The real love is for our love for takeaway. So what have we had this week?
We have a couple of correspondents here. Now, this one's coming from a guy called Joe, and he says, "Hi, both. I've got something to share with you. I've been getting cheaper Wagamamas for about a year, and here's how. Okay, strap in.
Right.
I only ever buy the child portions. Right. Okay. They're cheap.
Brilliant.
They're cheap. £4. And filling. About 2/3 size of an adult portion. So you can essentially sample more than one main each time. Right. That's it. That's your way of getting cheaper Wagamama. Ordering cheaper food. I don't think that's a food hack.
So you must only be doing this on takeaway, because no one would have the balls to do that in the restaurant, would they? Sort of claiming you're meeting a six-year-old and they haven't turned up yet. You're going, sorry, my son is on his way. This is for my son. He just hasn't got here yet. So he's running very late. He's so tardy. So that must be a takeaway thing. But I have thought about one thing I've seen. When you'll go round, if you eat in like gastropub and stuff like this, as I often do, because, you know, I work hard and I like to play. I like to enjoy myself. There's often a sign that says kids under 5 eat for free. And I've always wondered whether I could get away with going, I'll have like a small chicken nuggets, and my son will have the sort of £35 ribeye with a see if I can get his meal for free, and then sort of very quickly or subtly swap them midway through. But that is something I've thought about. Simran, what else have we been sent this
Okay,
week?
So Sarah says, you asked for takeaway horror stories, and I've got one that's quite disgusting. Here we go.
Perfect.
A friend of mine, for the purposes of this story, we'll call Andy, had the genius idea of purchasing a quarter pounder from the local kebab shop on a night out and stashing it in the bush near the bar we always go to. The logic being that by the time we would finish our night out, there was never anywhere open to get any food, and this way he could have some post-booze, pre-bed food to line the stomach before he slept.
Absolutely incredible.
None of us were convinced a cold bush burger was a great idea, but he goes ahead anyway and stashes the burger in the hedge. Cut to 2 a.m. We drunkenly stumble home, and into the bush Andy goes to retrieve his flame-grilled treasure, which at this point we all concede was a genius idea and are all asking, practically begging, for a piece. The smugness on his face was well earned on his first bite, and we all agree that going forward, this will now become a new ritual. But the second bite, his demeanour suddenly changed, his face contorted.
Oh, no.
And there was a look of confusion and disgust as he spat out the burger and started to gag. He looked down, opened the bun, and found over the course of the evening, a swarm of slugs had infiltrated his late-night snack, and his quarter pounder was now a half a pounder with added slug meat.
Oh no.
He wasn't sick, but none of us have been able to order from that takeaway again, which in fairness, by the way, Sarah, is not their fault, but the trauma is obviously too real.
That is so bad. That is so disgusting. I actually thought that was quite a good idea for a bit of that, to be honest.
Look, Sarah, I think your mate has obviously tried very hard to be practical, but I do feel sorry for the place that's never getting your custom again. It's nothing to do with them.
My 3-year-old has just walked in. Shall I ask him, would you eat a burger from a bush? Is that a yes or a no?
Yes.
Oh, there we are.
Oh, there we go. Done.
So I could just about see myself doing that if it was a cold night. What about you, Simran? Just to wrap it up, what would you do that? Burger in a bush, thoughts?
I think I would just have to hold out and see what is left in the kitchen at home. I don't think I'd do the burger in the bush.
So if you have any stories that you think may rival eating a burger, which is half burger, half slug, do contact the show. We want to hear the craziest takeaway stories you have. The weirder, the better. Can you beat Sarah? If so, contact us on hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com. And going forward, we also want to hear about the favourite takeaways from around the country. We want to kind of get an idea of the stuff that you guys are eating and the takeaways that you love. So send us photos of your favourite takeaways, the dishes you think they're best at, and a description of why you love them so much. And maybe we'll mention it on the show or we'll pop it on our Instagram. But we just want to get a flavour of what you, the takeaway public, are eating. And here is how you can get in contact with the show.
You can follow us on Insta on My Favorite Takeaway Podcast, on Twitter on Fav Takeaway Pod, or email us hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, next up, we've got one of the, I'm very excited about this, one of the most popular comics in the country. He has a critically acclaimed Netflix show called Repertoire. He's the host of the comedy panel show, Hypothetical, and host of the very good food comedy podcast, Off Menu. This is, of course, the incredible James Acaster. And we met James at his flat in South London. But we were chatting for quite a while. And whilst we were chatting to James, we would tell that he was getting a little hangry, I would say. So we could, because the food was just sat there and it was getting cold.
He made his feelings known. And the food from Mi Cucina Estuya, which is an incredible place in Crystal Palace, was amazing. So I can see why he reacted like this.
I'm fucking starving.
Well, James... James has subtly suggested that maybe he's hungry. So, James, tell us, where have you ordered from? What have you ordered and why are you so angry?
We've ordered from Mi Cucina Estuya, which is... I mean, I don't know if you've got any delivery apps on your phone and you want to have a look to back this up, but there are not many options around where I live.
Okay.
And this is by far and away the best place. I love it. It's a Venezuelan place. And when I first moved in here...
Can we say where we are, by the way? That's okay.
Yeah, sure. We're in like the Crystal Palace area, roughly speaking. Yeah, it's a little, like, quite a tiny place. There's Venezuelan food, mainly arepas. That's what I went for.
Oh.
That's the first reason why I went there. I wanted to try arepas. I noticed that this place that did them locally, so I was pretty overjoyed at that. You know, I think every country has its version of a sandwich or a taco or something.
Yeah.
And this is like, I think quite a few countries in South America do their version of it, but this is a Venezuelan one. And
is it kind of a street food, is it really? A wrap?
Yeah,
it's kind of like
so.
A daytime snack or whatever.
I think so. It's like a nice doughy kind of little pocket.
Yeah.
And in that it can be beef, pork, chicken, you know,
pinto beans, that sort
pinto
of thing.
Beans,
yep.
White cheese, all stuff like that.
Okay, lovely.
And plantain.
Yeah.
And so the first time I went there was for that, but now I've since discovered the whole menu's delicious.
It's also rocking a 4.9 average rating on Google.
Yeah.
Which is
very good.
Up there with the highest I've ever seen from anywhere.
Mi Cucina Estuya is by far my favourite place because, like, it's actually, you know, the variety there. It's unlike anything anywhere else, even in London, I'd say, that I've found in London.
Yeah.
So I feel very lucky to have it here. And I always cross my fingers that it doesn't shut down because everywhere else seems to get shut down.
Let's get it out. I get the feeling that it's run by just, I think it's a Venezuelan couple, actually. I
yes.
think it really is like a family,
yeah.
little family place.
Yeah, it's a little family place, and they're really nice. They always write on my delivery bags, thank you, James, and stuff like that. That really makes all the difference.
I like a message on a delivery bag.
I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Even though all they've done is look at the app and see who ordered it, but, you know, I'll be tricked. I still think they like me, they remember me.
What are your thoughts on a sort of cool slogan? I had the phrase, live clean, eat dirty, written on a bag
what?
Last week, which seemed a bit
Ooh.
Cool. It's from like a cool
that
burger
does feel
place.
Quite good. Yeah, very,
why did they write that?
It's sort of like that sort of rip curl, aspirational Rip Curl's
a bit of an old reference.
I'd say Rip Curl is not aspirational.
It's cool, kids, though. It's surfing. Surfers speak with it.
I was worried when I sent my order to you guys. Yeah. I was worried that maybe they wouldn't have everything because sometimes different times of day they don't have the whole menu.
Okay.
So when I told you what I wanted, I was like, well, we'll probably get half of that, but it seems like we have all of it.
So we currently have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seventh dish.
We've got a lot
now.
Of stuff here. There's really no order we need to eat this in.
But take us through whatever you'd like to start
with.
Is this
like a sort of pancake thing then?
Yeah, so here's the thing. And here's the problem was always with me talking you through the menu here, is that much like a lot of people, whenever I read a book, if there's a word I don't understand, I'll just skip over it. And I read the whole book not really knowing that person's name or that what that thing means. The menu of my favourite restaurant is very much like that. I don't know what any of these things are called. I eat them all the time. Don't know what any of them are called. Couldn't tell you. So here, for example, so let's start with this.
Well, this is the consequence of people ordering with a click of the finger on delivery and some of this, rather than ringing up and actually saying over the phone.
God, that does look good, though, doesn't it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that
so
great.
This is like a sweet corn pancake, but that is like a sandwich. And in between there, you have the shredded, I think this one, from what I remember, I've got the shredded, the pork one, but like, I think it should be pork and white cheese in the middle there. I think that's the one I went for. And there's also another one I got here, which is just white cheese. So I never had the white cheese one before. And that looks mad.
Is that queso cheese?
That cheese is spilling right
that
out
is,
of
they
that
have,
pancake,
they have put, I mean, the sweet corn pancake is in like a half moon and the cheese is just a full-on rectangle. So it is a... That is coming out the sides there. You can see a little bit of salt on the top there with the pancake.
So is that actually a sweet corn? It is making
sweet, it's a sweet corn pancake. Yeah, it's quite fluffy. I love a sweet corn fritter.
Yeah.
I'll always, if there's sweet corn fritters on a menu, I'm always straight in there. They never let you down. I've never had a bad one. And that's what led me to discovering the sweet corn pancake, if you're wondering.
Well, are you a fan of sweet corn in general? Would you have sweet corn on a pizza?
Yeah, I'd have sweet corn on a pizza.
I'm a big fan of sweet corn.
I don't think I would really turn sweet corn down. I mean, I've recently been... look, apologies to anyone who is listening to this podcast who has listened to Off Menu because, you know, look, we're talking about food. Some of these stories I'll have told before.
Yeah.
And they're not stories. They're just things I've eaten. But a big thing I've got into during lockdown, making at home, is corn ribs.
What's that?
Oh, OK, interesting.
Get yourself some sweet corn.
Right.
Cut it up into quarters, which involves slicing down the cob.
Yep.
And then you want to get some oil bubbling away in a wok.
Okay.
Then put it all face down, corn side down, a few minutes until it's nice and brown. Then put it in a big bowl with lime juice and this seasoning, kombu seasoning that I got. Mix it all together in there with some olive oil. And... it's absolutely delicious. You just eat them like ribs.
Yeah.
They are so delicious.
Oh, that sounds absolutely
So that's my favourite way to have sweet corn these days. Top tip.
Okay, here we go.
Does anyone not want one of this one?
No, this looks amazing.
We'd all like some of that one. Fantastic. So I'm going to... This is the meat one.
So how have your takeaway habits been in lockdown?
I mean, as I say, like the options around here are limited.
Okay.
So it's mainly been this place.
Yep.
For me, and that's mainly at lunch times. There's an Indian place that I sometimes get the exact same order from every single time.
Which is?
I get the, for myself, I will get the...
here we go, love it. The, thank you, James.
The okra.
Lovely.
The chicken zakuti, which I get, if it's on any menu, I get a chicken zakuti.
Is that with courgette?
No, chicken. I'll also get the, this prawn. I can't remember if it's jinga or something. It's like...
Oh, yeah, nice.
Juicy.
Yeah.
So good. It's good.
There's a lot of ginger in them. It tastes great. Do you want big cheesy?
Let's give this a go. This looks like the sort of cheese sandwich that if your mother gave you on your way to school, you'd never recover from it. You'd be bullied to death. I just can't imagine this cheese being anything other than very squeezy.
It looks insane. I've never ordered that one before. It does look mad.
It looks mad, doesn't it?
It looks like a dessert.
Yeah.
It looks like a cheesecake. Yeah, that's what it looks like. I think this queso cheese is a huge thing in Venezuelan food, though. And the reason I think that is because I looked up on Wikipedia earlier.
I'm just watching you Google it now.
But I have a feeling, having read about it on the way over here, that it is quite a big thing. Let me have a look here. Is this a cachapas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is cachapas cheese, a soft and sweet corn pancake with white cheese.
But that is really interesting, because that cheese...
looks dense and heavy, but it's actually quite light.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and actually the sweet corn fritter is slightly heavier than the cheese, and you wouldn't think that from looking at it.
And we've got a cachapa
and it's lovely and salty, whereas this and the sweet corn is quite it's sweet.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely little quite nice little mixture of flavours.
Nice little bite.
Mm, yeah, the texture, a good texture.
So growing up then, did you get takeaways growing up? What was your...
It was like... So I was born in Kettering, moved away for a year when I was five, and moved back to Kettering. And that's my earliest memories of living in Banbury.
Right.
Where I never had a takeaway, as far as I remember.
Where's Banbury? That's...
Oxfordshire. Can't remember ever having a takeaway in Banbury. But then back to Kettering, where we lived literally round the back of a fish and chip shop.
Oh, really?
So our garden smelt like fish and chips constantly, which was like... just driving me crazy. You know, it was just salivating and eyes rolling in the back of my head, really wanting the fish and chips and never getting it. Yeah. We'd get it if my mum went away for a bit and then my dad was like, we're going to the chippy. Like, yeah. I'm really like too excited about it. But
you know, so were you constantly thinking about that? Was it a thing you wanted that food? Because well, it can have an adverse effect.
Where like my mum is a brilliant cook.
Okay.
And we had loads of homemade food, you know, even like homemade bread and stuff and biscuits and things. And I would, and no one ever made me feel like this, but always see it as like, you know, the more swanky stuff was getting a takeaway or something.
Yeah.
That was cooler, or that was like, I don't know, I kind of want, I remember going to school and having like homemade biscuits once and being weirdly ashamed by them.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then Jamie Thompson offering, I was like, oh no, because I got some, you know, homemade biscuits out my lunchbox, and Jamie Thompson had clocked them, so I thought I had to make a big deal about it. I was like, oh no, I hate these. And he was like, I'll swap with you, they look good. I swapped him for a penguin. And I remember eating this very boring penguin bar while looking at him eating this massive chocolate biscuit that my mum had made that had like cream, like chocolate cream smashed in between. It was like a squirrel with two hands. And kind of looking around vigilantly like a squirrel does around the canteen, hoping that no one stole it. I remember looking at him thinking, oh, he's really lucked out there, actually. Now I see someone else eating that biscuit, I realise how awesome it is. And now I'm eating this penguin and I realise this is boring.
That's really fun.
But then I still always saw takeaways as a treat. And, if it was my birthday or whatever, I remember, like, having KFC for my birthday 1 year, and I'd only had KFC once before that. And the first time I had KFC, just absolutely my head exploded with, like, I couldn't believe how good it tasted. Because just that, I was not used to those levels of salt. So I was just like, oh, fuck, this is incredible. So I asked for KFC for my birthday, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. For the build-up to my birthday, I was like, I can't believe I'm going to have a KFC. And then having it and being quite disappointed that it was, like, not as excited as I remember
as
it being
the first time.
But, yeah, it was always a treat.
So was dinner usually at the table then?
Yeah.
At home, yeah.
Yeah, weren't really allowed it in front of the TV. It's meant to be, we all sit down together and have... it wasn't like a really... We weren't really asking very often if we'd have it in front of the TV, but, like, you know, we knew that that was, like...
So what's your evening routine? You come home from school.
From school, watch TV. Well, we get to watch all the kids' TV, including Newsround.
Yeah.
And Blue Peter after that. And then it was tea time.
Okay.
So then it was food to the... And, you know, you didn't know what dessert was until you'd finished your mains.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because we were, you know...
Your mum did a dessert every night.
Well, sometimes it was just, you know, a bowl of natural yogurt with some raisins in it.
Yes.
But you didn't know that. So, you know, you were having your main course.
Oh, wow.
And we're all sugar addicts, including my dad. So everyone's going, what's for pudding? And she's like, surprise, you'll see. And you won't get it unless you finish that main course. So you finish it, and then she's like, it could be, you know, a massive bowl of ice cream. And you're like, I'm so glad I ate my mains. And then sometimes it's a banana and you're like, well played. Well done.
Yeah. Because your dad's like a proper pudding addict as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
So is this because your mum was pushing these incredible puds? Is that what's happened? Has she created? Because you're an ice cream addict. That's like I've heard you talk about ice cream 7,000 times with absolute love.
Yeah, I think about it all the time. My mum used to make ice cream.
Really?
She's an ice cream maker. And this is how addicted we were to ice cream as a family, was that very quickly with the ice cream maker, the ice cream stopped being frozen once it had been... So it'd be mixed in the ice cream maker, and then just straight in the bowl and we'd eat it like that. Not frozen. Just as a slop.
Okay, we have a new package.
Now, really, we need a sauce for this. So actually... So this is some tostones.
Which are?
Plantain. Amazing. Fried up really crispy. And it's got salt and sugar on them.
Oh.
So now, I don't usually use the dips. So we've got here like a kind of pea green dip. and a red kind of salsa-looking dip. Now, I've never used them. They come with every single delivery. I have so many of these in my fridge door. Definitely at least a large bottle each of these tiny little ramekins. Let's use these ones at least.
And if anyone's listening, send a picture of your fridge door with your little pots of sauce inside them.
It's good content.
I've got at least 8 in mine.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try this.
That's spicy.
Right.
And I'm going to cool you down.
So, do you remember
the
first takeaway, or even maybe a meal out, that really sort of blew you away and sort of properly pushed you forward into loving food?
Well,
in an expansive way.
I was very late to loving food. When I was in my 20s, I realised I'm going to have to do this forever until I'm dead, eating food, and so I best just get into it and stop just having it as fuel, because that doesn't make any sense. I'm having to do it every day. There are certain things that you have to do for the rest of your life. You're just going to have to do them. Mm-hmm. And if you don't start enjoying them, your life is going to be bad. So if you don't enjoy having a shit, then you're an idiot, because you're going to have to do that a lot. And it best not make it a chore. Best make it something you look forward to, and it's lovely to sit down.
I can say, as a parent, it is my happiest moment of the day. Yeah. It is literally a bit of me time. Yeah. And the more difficult the poo, the better, to be honest.
Yeah. How are you liking the tostada? Yeah.
So I was going to say, there's a real kick to that red sauce. This fried plantain has less of a sweetness of the slightly stewed stuff you'd maybe get from a Caribbean place.
Yes,
Which seems to retain more of that banana-y plantain. It has lost some of that, but it's still lovely. It's very different.
Yeah.
It's while they sprinkle a bit of sugar on it, I think.
It's like a crisp, really, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what it is.
It's like a big, chewy, very hard on the outside crisp.
So you were saying that. So this moment where you in your 20s, you kind of...
Yeah, it was just in my 20s I started doing it. I mean, when I was a kid, there were some places that I looked forward to going to. Mm-hmm. The Red Lion in Wellham. I love going to eat there. That's like the earliest place I remember.
So what was the Red Lion?
Pub.
Okay.
A village pub that did food, but it just, for whatever reason, had a really good chef who loved cooking beef. So, great steaks, great burgers. Mm-hmm. My auntie and uncle discovered it, and it just became where we'd always go for birthdays.
Oh, very nice.
And you'd always go there. I always got a White House burger, which was... My memory is the size of my head. Like, properly, that's not an exaggeration. Like, that's my memory, is it was this massive burger that could only have been, like, handmade. Like, you couldn't have bought that in a shop. Covered in, like, the thickest cheddar cheese. Like, the cheese would be sweating, that kind of thickness. And then, like, a massive fried egg on top of it that was, like, might as well have been an ostrich egg. And then these two big sesame seed buns, and I would never be able to finish it. I would always, like, have to tap out at some point.
Okay.
But the only reason I tapped out was because I wanted the ice cream sundae for dessert, and I didn't want to completely get full up on the mains.
Yeah.
And I was vocal about that to my parents, about my tactics. My dad respected it.
And would your parents let you eat pretty much whatever you sort of wanted? Were they strict about your diet? Like, would your parents have said, James, you can't eat all of that again, you're never going
to
eat it?
Because we didn't, like, go out to eat all the time. Whenever we did, it was a treat. So it was like, just get what you want. You know, we weren't a starter family. We never had starters. Mm. Didn't interest us. Mm-hmm. So we'd always have mains and the dessert, and they just let us just go for it. Because also, when you went to Wellham, part of the excitement was that you're trying to, like, eat something massive.
Yeah.
So we go to the Red Lion in Wellham, we really hope. They bring out a massive thing, and we're going to try and eat it, and we're going to fail.
But, like, boy versus food.
Boy versus food. Yeah, there's stories about us as kids, like, always having to think in our heads we had to finish our mains. And there's a story that's been told to me a number of times of the time my parents made a curry that was far too hot, even for them, by mistake or whatever. And I was just there soldiering through it while, like, dying. Because I wanted my dessert. I didn't know what it was.
Hoping it was ice cream.
And apparently, like, exhaled out my mouth while going, "It's very nice, mummy." Like that, and trying to score points along the way. So, like, when we went out to eat, it was like, great. I can, if I want to, I can tap out of this White House lunch burger. But most of the time, I didn't want to tap out because, like, I was excited to be eating this thing.
Oh, so completely.
I was all disappointed when it's like, I'm not eating the whole of, once again, the White House rump burger has beaten me.
Yeah.
I'd look on the menu and think, maybe I should go for the Henry VIII mixed grill or something like that. But, like,
Henry VIII mixed grill.
That was my dad's domain, and I wasn't going to tread on his toes.
It's a nuanced restaurant.
Yeah. Right.
So, let's move on to the next dish.
Okay, let's go for. So, this is the arepas. And, so one is chicken cheese and plantain. One is beef, cheese and plantain. And one is pork and cheese. Do you have any preferences, boys?
So I'm happy to go. You go first.
I'm very happy. If my grandmother was listening now, she'd say, don't eat the pork, it's haram. So yeah. I've got that voice in my head. But I'm going to... I will still eat it. She won't be listening to the podcast.
Is that the one you want?
That's the one I want. I'm going to go for that.
What would you like, James?
What would you like?
This is your house, so what would you...
Yes, but like, but then the exciting thing for me is getting to see people eat food that I like. You know, I'd say definitely go for the pork.
Why not? I'm going to go for the pork.
You choose either one of them you like.
So these three things look like they're sort of... They look a bit
fried
like a schnitzel split in half down the middle.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This place is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
The first time I ordered from here
really good.
Was with Ed Gamble. We did not think the arepas would be this big, and we ordered so many of them and were virtually in tears. Yeah. Just thinking we've really messed this up.
Mmm, that is good.
That's so soft.
Mmm.
That's absolutely delicious. This makes me think, I already am overweight, but if I lived in Venezuela, I would be huge.
I think I think everyone has like a thing in their head of like how much more they would weigh in certain countries. I know in America I'd be dead.
Yeah.
Every time I come back from there, I'm like, there's no way. we can all be all sneery about them. Oh, the obesity levels in America. It's like, yeah, because the food is amazing and really bad for you.
Yeah.
So I would absolutely go nuts there.
Like when you're on tour and when you're, let's say the Edinburgh Festival as well, like how are you eating there?
Awfully, because especially like Edinburgh, you just go, well, there's no point pretending to myself. Like, I've joined gyms in Edinburgh and then gone a few times the first week and then that's it. So, like, I'm going to be too stressed and caught up in the whole thing. I just need to go easy on myself, let myself off the hook. On tour, often you eat loads because you're travelling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Have, like, a decent, one decent meal a day. But, I want to go to the good places and, wherever this new place is I am today, new city, I want to go to, the best place there. And
stuff. So do you do that then?
I try and Google on the way there if we've got time to have a meal before.
So Josh, obviously, keep bringing him up, he's a very close mutual friend of us. Uh-huh. He will, when he's on tour, will go to the safety of places where he knows he can get the thing will be all right, which is like Pizza Express and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But you'll seek out restaurants that you have heard are good and you'll enjoy the sort of...
Do a mixture.
Okay.
Really, that just depends on how much time we've got before the gig. Not much time, straight to Nando's.
Most people I know basically can't eat before they're going to go on stage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think Phil Wang was saying that he tried and it's absolutely a nightmare.
Yeah.
When you're off stage, do you ever have a craving for food?
Before the gig, yeah. I'm a proper psycho with that. Don't even care. Eating it, not even thinking about doing a gig. Don't care.
Really?
When I was in a band, I remember having a big spag bol once before a gig. and then literally being sick. So that was different. I was nervous in those days. Stand up, I'm like, eating a meal. Standing on stage, feeling a bit too heavy, bloated, deliver a half-decent show, go back, order room service.
Is it fair to say that we have a similar relationship with stand-up emotionally?
For me, the anxiety would hit during the gig. Pre-gig, I'm like, everything's fine. Looking forward to the gig. And then I'd go on stage and go, oh, fucking hell. And then you're like, oh, God.
Would you ever get that, which I would sometimes do, 10 minutes in when it's going well, and you think, well, I can't sustain this?
sometimes you get that desperation to, come on, let's keep this in the air. Let's go. Because, since being an open spot and not knowing how to do comedy, so then doing those open spot gigs and just trying to figure it out, and when you'd have a good one, just really trying to hold on to that good one and sustain it for the whole set, and that never goes away. So now whenever I have a gig that's going well, you're like, oh, come on, this is it. We're going to ride this to the end. We're going to have a good one to the very end.
Yeah,
And that, that rarely happens, or it rarely happens to your own standards, that you have something that for you qualifies as a really good one. And I think on the last tour, I had one gig that from start to finish was exactly how I wanted it to be. Like beat for beat, perfect. That's how I want the show to be. And afterwards, it was embarrassing how giddy I was. Like, going from, normally just go, oh, let's just go back to the hotel, I'm going to go to bed. But suddenly I'm like, woohoo, hey, Paul, how's it going? Wah, 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 hey! And I've been a joker and doing, stupid shit in little bits all the time because I'm in a good mood. And I went somewhere and I got a club sandwich and a Bloody Mary in the hotel bar. I was like, I love Bloody Mary, say bye bye. And like, you know, just in this amazing mood because I've had the first good gig I've enjoyed in years.
That's really interesting because obviously I'm not a stand-up, and I think the people who would watch stand-up and see you, James, would think that, you know, if you're doing like a big show, that you've sort of already nailed down your material, you know it back to front, so each set would be no different, one from the other. You're just going off and doing it. But you're saying that sometimes when you're up on stage, something can something throw you and it changes, or you feed off the audience a different way?
Well, imagine if you had a script for every party you went to, and every single party you went to, you just said the same things, and it doesn't matter who's at the party. Always a bunch of different people at the party, but you always arrive there and you say the same things in the same order, and you go around the room and you're standing in that part of the room at that point, and then that part, you're saying this to this person and then that to the next one, and you have a party and it really works well, and then the next
15
party,
minutes in the middle, you tell people to go and have some drinks.
Yeah.
You come back,
like,
again.
You know, and one night you go in and you're like, hey everyone, what about dips? Dips are weird, and everyone there at the party for some reason loves it. They're like, yeah. And then you go to the next party, you go, hey everyone, what about dips? And they're like, what the? Her wife just died. Why are you bringing up the dips?
She drowned in a massive vat of mint sauce.
We're talking about something really serious here. And like, that's kind of what it is that, and then you end up going in your own childish mind, oh, I said this stuff yesterday and it was funny. What's the matter with you lot? It's like, well, we're a different group of people who've been through a different bunch of stuff, and you seem to be on, like, autopilot mode, which is no way to speak to people. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? So then I try and be in the moment more, and I try and be more open to changing it in the moment. And that, I guess, leaves you more open to disappointment and, it makes you feel more vulnerable because you don't just go, fuck it, autopilot mode, doesn't matter who's in front of me, do the gig, get off, go home. I feel very responsible for them. They, you know, that some of them have got babysitters. That's a classic thing that comedians always say to each other to remind you that, like, for these people, it's not just they're going out for the night and, like, you're their evening's entertainment. You might be their entertainment for the month, you don't know. And then going out, being like, right, I've got to be in the moment, I've got to be engaged with them, I've got to give them the best show possible. And then it's falling flat, and in my head it's like, you're fucking this up for everybody. And then it's like, actually, you know, getting anxious before the show would benefit me in a way, because I would at least kind of like manage my expectations and go, do you know what, maybe this isn't going to go well. And then I can adjust it. There's been gigs before that I've done where I think, okay, last time I was here, it was bad. It was a bad gig. So I can't expect them to be a great audience. So therefore, adjust your expectations. They're going to be like really quiet. So just have fun on your own terms. And then I go out with that attitude, and then I have the best night of the tour. And I love it because, like, I was never expecting a good gig from them. I like writing the shows and I like filming them. So if I film the shows and I watch them back after having edited them and they're the show I wanted and the show I had in my head, you then think to yourself, well, all that stuff that I put myself through, all the beating myself up all the time, and the way too many gigs that I did, and no breaks that I gave myself, clearly paid off. So we'll be doing that again next time. And it's like now trying to be like, no.
So do you think it will change the way you approach stand-up?
Well, then? At the minute, I'm just having a break and I'm not giving myself a time. I'm going to be back. I'm basically going to, you know, do it again when I want to do it again. And that could be next week and it could be never. Approaching it that way. Or it could be when I'm skint and I need to do it. It will most likely be that. And just trying to kind of like think, what do you want to do and what's important to you and all this? And just trying to kind of like reflect on it a bit more, because when you start out as a open micer, you hit the ground running, you hit a conveyor belt running. It's just like instantly, like you're like on the last bit of the gladiators and you're like, fucking hell. And you're trying to like run up the thing. I can't stop. I'm out. And it feels like that for years, because, you know, you're trying to make it your living to begin with, and then it becomes your living and you want to keep it your living. And you also want to, you know, you want to get on that radio show or do that TV, or you want to do Edinburgh and you want to be a touring comic and have an hour-long show. So you're just, there's more and more goals and you can't have any time off, because otherwise everyone will forget about you.
I have memories of getting my first paid weekends at gigs that I was really looking like, the glee clubs, all these things, like, oh, those aspirations, that's what I'll do. They're, you know, the great gigs, whatever.
Yeah.
But never actually stopping enjoying them, because it was like, oh, now I need this to pay my rent. And this is me, this is my job. So it's like, everything changes. Yeah, well, it's complicated.
It's really interesting, because I think people listening, and especially me, for like watching stand-ups, you sort of, I think you forget how many gigs you do before you reach a level where you're seen on television or on radio.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, how many gigs do you think you would do before as an open mic? I mean, are you talking
how many gigs? So
is
like,
it, is it like three times a week, four times a week?
TV and radio I started getting more of in 2011. Was my first TV spot, which was also Howard's Good News.
Where they misspelled your name on the back.
Where they misspelled my name. Numerous, and called me James Acastor a million times behind me and on screen.
But like, behind you and on screen.
I started in 2008, and I guess average I was doing 5 gigs a week, but mostly doing like gigs every night.
That's quite brutal. And I mean, that's like, just, you know, absolutely brutal.
And then so it's like, yeah, that year in 2011 was probably also when I started doing Josh's radio show. So couple of years. So 2010 was when I supported Josie Long and it became my job. And I did have that moment where I got to reflect on it and appreciate it a bit.
Oh,
because
good.
Like the first leg of Josie Long's tour was in the Highlands of Scotland. And you know, I'd been working in a school as a classroom assistant before that. And I remember I was driving on that tour, which didn't end well. But in terms of my driving didn't end well. I crashed the car and nearly killed everyone. But I told that story on many podcasts. But I remember driving through the first day or the first week and driving around the Scottish Highlands and going up this winding hillside and looking down at the valley, and there's this river, and like there's this mist going along the top of the river and all this like greenery and wildlife, and realising it was like, you know, 2 in the afternoon, 1 in the afternoon, and that I'd normally be in the classroom working. Mm. And really, like, so not on stage thinking this, but, like, you know, in the day thinking, yeah, oh, this is incredible. Like, because also I'd only ever been to the Scottish Highlands on holiday. That had been the only other time I'd been there was to, like, a wildlife watching holiday with my parents. So it was like, this is where you go on a holiday. It's not, like, where you just spend, yeah, you know, a Wednesday afternoon and you're the only ones driving around the road in October and, you know, everyone who you used to work with at the school is currently sitting in those classrooms that you were in. And now you're here. And that was like, and then later that day, I think Josie made us, but also it was fun, go swimming in a river or something. It was in a cove, and seals swam up to us. And we were just swimming in a cove on the Isle of Mull, and these seals just swam over. And we're like there, and we were like, this is magical. And then one of us said, do they bite you? And then we shat ourselves and swam to the shore. But like, but there was this moment of being like, oh, was it? Is this what stand-up is? Yeah. Is it what being a comedian is going to be like? I swim with seals all the time and like, you know, to have this magical life.
Now, let's open up the final box then.
Final box is this is my standard order.
Yeah.
I just get this for lunch usually.
It's pretty heavy.
Arroz Polo. I know that because it's written on the lid. This is rice, chicken, chorizo, plantain on the top, peas and carrots. This is what I have for lunch usually.
Wow.
I just have that to myself.
Okay, let's give this a go.
Oh, yes.
So are there any weird takeaway things you do, or any sort of, for example, is there a way that you always eat it? Or are you kind of in front of the telly, or what are you doing? Are you
always in front of the telly. Yeah. I mean, like, that's the mega treat, right? I mean, I was one of those kids who was like, you know, when I grow up, when I'm an adult, I'm going to do all the things that mummy and daddy won't let me do.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat food in front of the TV, eat the takeaways all the time and all this. And, you know, most people grow up and then they don't do those things because they're adults now. Whereas yeah. I have completely remained in my head a child going like, what, this is the best treat ever. I get to sit in front of the TV, watch whatever I like and eat this takeaway that's objectively bad for me sometimes. And it's like, I still have that thing in my head where I'm a kid going like, I get to do whatever I like.
Are you sat like, on the sofa or are you sat?
I'm sat on the sofa behind me, the one you see there. I'm sat there. I've got my legs up on the footstool. Oh. What do you make of this?
Well, I was going to say, I think maybe because I've been so spoilt with the others, this doesn't quite do it for me as much as the others.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I'm a big fan of it. I think it's got a sort of like a special fried rice type.
Yes.
Everything in there.
Yeah.
A homely, warming quality to it. No, it's lovely.
I totally agree with all that. I think just because I've had this indulgent sort of like salty, sweety, fried stuff beforehand, this feels actually like the healthier. I know it is objectively probably the better option.
I actually think it's my favourite dish.
But I like it's very good. Don't get me wrong, it's good. But I think, you know, I'd probably still like the arepas.
I mean, we talked earlier about that heartbreak when you get a takeaway wrong. Have you ever had a takeaway disaster? Anything that's ever gone wrong? Or are there frustrations and gripes you have around the world of takeaway?
I had a guy during lockdown. The thing is now, obviously, is that you can see them on your app. So you can see where the guy is.
Yeah.
And I got told by the app who's nearby. I was like, good, because I've never been this hungry. And I looked on the app and I could see him. I was like, great. And he kind of circled the flat and didn't stop. And then went round again. I was like, that's this guy. I'm going to have to ring this guy in a minute. And then he stopped next to the building. I was like, okay, here we go. Probably walking from his vehicle. And I waited and no one rang the buzzer. And I waited a bit longer. And then I just watched on the app him go away and leave. And then I got a text from him on the app saying, I've spilt it. I was like, okay.
There's so much about no apology.
Yeah,
so you ran down to the pavement with a spoon.
He went away. So I had to wait like another 45 minutes or so. So yeah, by the time it arrived, I was absolutely
so what had
famished.
He, what had he spilt?
I think it might have even been... No, it wasn't this. It was from a sushi place and I'd ordered miso soup along with sushi. So it was just like...
Everything was covered.
Yeah, he'd spilt it, and it was just miso. There's, all over the sushi.
The tone of that message sounds like he really feels he's let himself down, and in my mind, he's quit the industry.
He didn't stop driving.
Last message he got from his wife received from him before he drove into the sea was, "I've spilt it." Poor guy. Claire, my girlfriend, she got a faux early this week. And
spilt it.
They spilt the broth was all over the bag, but the rest of it was fine. So just the vegetables bit. And they were trying to argue they shouldn't have to send us a new...
Right, yeah.
I mean, but the faux is where the flavour of the broth... You can't just send chicken and whatever, you know.
Well, so what makes you go and respect this guy? Yeah. He didn't try and fob me off. He was like, I've spilt it, forget it. You're getting a new one because, like, there's no point. You shouldn't have to pay for this.
At the end of a festival once, I once had a pizza delivered that had a footprint on it. Wow. Well, that's my worst delivery.
I think I remember that.
Was that in the pizza or on the box?
On the box, but heavily into the pizza as well. And it looked like it had been baked in, but that made no sense.
Did you eat the pizza?
I
ate around the pizza.
You ate around the pizza.
You had a foot-shaped pizza left.
Yeah, so you still ate it. You were at that point in your life.
You still ate it.
Nowadays, I don't think you would.
Now, this is not something we ever do on this show, but because it's you, I spoke to Claire earlier and I was saying, oh, James is doing the podcast later. And James, I think you'll probably agree that you would say that some of the things I do food-wise, you would consider a little bit weird.
Yeah.
For example, when we went for a curry together about a month and a half ago, and I asked the waiter to order what he would choose.
Yeah.
God, which I maintain is a good thing. What's your take on that?
Embarrasses me, crazy.
Well, you know what my take on it is. It's like, the first time I was aware of you doing that was not in a restaurant, it was a takeaway.
Yeah.
And it was one of the happiest train journeys I've ever had. I was on a train, we were on a text group together. I mean, Crane's best moments...
Aside from his stand-up.
Yeah. And when he's feeling extremely like he's won, like he's hacked the system.
Yeah.
And you just know that he's about to fail miserably. Something's about to happen.
How dare you.
Huge hubris.
How dare you.
And you announced to the text group that you were going to get an Indian takeaway. And you were excited about it and you couldn't stop texting us about how excited you were. It's on its way. It's going to go, oh, I can't wait. And then we were like, you know... being supportive at the time, and send us photos of it when you get it, Crane. I bet it's delicious. And then you sent a photo of it, and it was the worst takeaway I've ever seen anyone order, because you got an overwhelming amount of carbs, even for, like, you know, I guess an Indian takeaway, a lot of people would get poppadoms or naan bread and rice, but you really went, like, big on those. And then this prawn curry... that you had said to the person on the phone, whatever you recommend. When you ordered yourself this treat of a curry while your girlfriend is away and you're doing it in secret, you just said whatever your favourite curry is, the person
stand
on the phone.
By it.
And they bought you the worst prawn curry. It had six tiny prawns in it, like those small ones
that
you get in a
frozen. They weren't prawns.
Yeah, little tiny shrimp. And it was... such a bad curry. And you had so much, like, just, like, overwhelmingly on the photo. Not, I've never seen a photo of an Indian meal before and gone, oh, that's the main colour that's jumping out of me is just whiteness. Sheer white. got some rice and poppadoms and bread, and then like this little curry that had visibly like a, you know, a couple of tiny, the tiniest prawns.
It was really bad.
That you then said you just let the person on the phone just to sort of decide what you got, and I was laughing so much on this train. I was so ecstatic, because I think I was the only one on the group who was like live on the group at the same time as you, and just really relishing laying into you about how you're an idiot and you're so stupid. This is like the most stupid thing anyone's ever done, and like, you're supposed to be treating yourself, you idiot. Is this worth lying to your girlfriend for, you piece of shit? And like, really,
you went a bit hard actually.
And then like, and also like, the saddest thing is that you had then planned to go across to the park across the road and put the put the takeaway boxes in the bag in the bin in the park.
I did do that, yeah.
You did do that.
So there's a bin across the road. I'd hide takeaway.
So couldn't be detected.
That's low, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's just such a sad.
But
walk.
I still maintain that the waiter will know the menu better than you will.
No, and the waiter is thinking, well, what cheap food can I give this dumb
buck? That's what it is.
Yeah. That should be the new name for the podcast. What cheap food can I give this dumb fuck? Should be the whole name of the podcast, and just your smiling little face on the thumbnail and those words around you.
Now, the reason I bring this up is Claire wanted me to ask you whether you thought this was weird, because I wasn't even aware I really did this with takeaways as a takeaway.
Is this a new thing?
No, I've been doing it for a while, but I hadn't really clocked that I'd been doing it.
Go on.
When I'm ordering a takeaway, it's not that weird. Uh-huh. I will sit there and I will mime.
You know this is weird before you say...
The different dishes.
Yeah, well...
So I will have...
Cream. You know this is weird.
A little burger and I'll go...
And you'll pretend to eat a burger.
Or I will get... Pretend with chopsticks and go...
Okay.
And it puts me into a space where I'm having that meal. Yeah. So the curry, I scoop it.
Yeah.
I drop into the mindset of a person having that cuisine. And yes. Therefore I know, okay, that's what I want. So I'll go, I'll try burgers. I don't know, it feels a bit heavy. I'm not going to have that. And then I'll try Thai food. And I go, oh, that's... Maybe that feels like the soul rhythm.
Smacking your lips. Okay. That's, I think, really putting me...
So I'm aware that you think that that's not weird and that you think that your logic makes sense. Now, here's why it's weird, just so you know.
Okay.
That's the thought process everyone goes through when they order a takeaway.
Yeah.
But they don't have to mind. So most people, when they're looking down a menu of a takeaway, are thinking, what do I want? And they are able to visualise in their minds eating a burger.
Can you do that?
Having a curry.
Yes, I can visualise.
And that they are able to anticipate how that will feel based on how they feel physically right now.
Not fully. They're not in the way that I am. I'm really...
I think actually, yes. If anything, I would find miming less helpful. I think that would not help the situation at all.
In fact, quite embarrassing. I think it would add embarrassment to the situation rather than, I think, aid it.
Yeah.
So this is... I'm so unconsciously aware that I'm doing it. It was only about a week and a half ago that Claire pointed it out and went, well, you're doing... You always do that.
Patience of a saint. So do you do those lip noises?
Yeah, do you? And do you do...
Yes, I do the lip noises.
It's as if you're sort of feeding your child and doing a fake helicopter.
Why'd you do that?
Choosing what takeaway you want is difficult. In fact, I have an idea for an app which decides what takeaway you're going to have.
Let's just get the podcast away first.
You write in sort of, oh, I'm in this sort of mood, I'm happy. I want to lose...
So you still have to fill stuff out?
I want to lose a bit of weight or whatever, and it'll go, you're having sushi tonight. Actually, I'm not sure, as I said it out loud, it feels like a really bad app idea.
Yeah, yes.
But anyway...
Of course it's objectively bad.
So it's hard to come up, it's hard to decide exactly. There's so many options. Mm. I'm going to have Venezuelan, Chinese, burger, Indian. So this is my little fail-safe trick to make sure I always have what I want.
The thing is, at some point in the future, this thing, that kind of app is going to exist for everything, because we've all got choice paralysis now with whether it's what we watch on, you know, streaming platforms or what we're going to order for food. And it is going to become, at some point, there's going to be these things. And in the distant future, it will be no one ever makes a decision for themselves. Yeah. And we all just get the government send us... This is what you're eating today. This is what you're watching today. And you know, it's going to be a pretty bleak future, but you're quite happy to dive face first into that.
What the hey? I think too much choice is stressful. That's my thing. It helps me.
Yeah, it is weird. And the fact that you and Claire have been together for years, you've had two children together, the fact that she's only brought it up a month ago is amazing on her. She continues to astound me, that
she
woman.
Does, yeah. She's a
really
fantastic
just
woman.
Such a good person. And I would say if I went out with someone and I did that, I would expect that to be brought up the first time I did it. I expect that immediately. If I'm going, they go, what's that? What are you doing? Yeah. Oh, I'm just trying to visualise eating the burger to see if I'm in the mood for it. Oh, OK. Well, it's been nice getting to know you and, you know, good luck with everything in the future. I just expect them to leave.
So, I think, well, that's all the dishes now,
isn't
it?
All the dishes.
So there's no dessert?
This is the biggest... No dessert.
I loved it.
I absolutely loved it. This was fantastic.
I don't know much about Venezuelan food, but it's all delicious. It's amazing, really. Well, what was your favourite dish?
I thought the repas was... repas, right? That was the pork and cheese... was for me, it was basically felt like a guilty pleasure burger. Mm-hmm. So I think I probably couldn't have it every night, but the night that I do have it, it's a great night.
So yeah, I thought it was all delicious. For me, the rice dish was my favourite. Yours was the arepas.
Yes, absolutely.
What about you, James? What's yours? Probably the rice, I guess.
I mean, yeah, I normally order the rice for lunch. Nice to have the arepas as a treat. But I don't normally order the first dish we had, the sweet corn pancake one. I really enjoyed having that today. And I think next time I order, I'm going to make sure I get one of those. So that was a nice little thing for me. And I always love a crispy tostone.
James, thank you so much. That has been
a joy.
Thank you
for coming over.
Thank you very much, James.
Thank you for tea, guys.
I've loved it. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been great. This is the best Venezuelan food I've had in London.
Yeah, great. I'll second that.
Name the restaurant again?
Mi Cucina e Tuya.
Nice.
Thank you, James.
So that was the fantastic James Acaster there, a brilliantly talented man and a fascinating person to talk to. Just what an absolute joy. If you have been enjoying the show in general, you enjoyed that episode, then your support means the world. Do leave us a review wherever you get your podcast, because it helps so, so much. And we just want to spread the word. We have brilliant people coming up, including next week, Simran. Who have we got?
So next week, we have Jamie Lang, who is obviously... Ooh. Star of Made in Chelsea, but also has a podcast called Private Parts and his own confectionery company called Candy Kittens. So we're really, really looking forward to that.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.